Information Service for Appropriate Technology in association with the Development Technology Center in Zimbabwe present
Making It Work.
Connecting you with people across Africa who know how to solve some of your basic problems. In this program,
how to cook your food faster, better and cleaner without using a lot of wood. Today we take a look at the problem many communities in Africa are facing, trying to collect enough firewood to cook their food, and how this can be solved by a method which uses less wood and yet the cooking is faster and better. My name is George Msumba.
And I'm Brenda Moyo. If you're interested in the topic we are talking about today, please remember that we will give you an important address at the end of this program, so have a pen and paper ready. Today we are in Western Kenya with George, where he takes us to Kitale and Mumias. Kitale is a region which produces most of Kenya's maize, which in turn is used to make ugali or maize meal. Mumias, on the other hand, is home to sugarcane plantations and a sugar milling plant. The majority of people in Kenya uses firewood, charcoal, agricultural and forestry wastes such as cow dung, sawdust, and crop residues to create energy for the household. In order to collect these fuels, the poor rural and urban people spend at least 2 hours each day. The time could be used to do other jobs to improve their lives. Even part of the income is used to get these fuels. Sometimes forests are destroyed in search of wood.
Helen Owala works as a project manager on the UPESI project division of the Intermediate Technology Group. She covers the Western Kenya region, advising local communities how to use their wood efficiently.
The stoves that are used are also mainly those that do not save a lot of firewood. For example, in the Western Kenya, most of the households mainly use the three-stone fireplace, the open hearth, and this consumes a lot of firewood.
The three-stone fireplace is common throughout Africa. Three stones are placed in a triangle, and the pot rests on the stones. Wood is put through the three spaces between the stones, and this usually takes up a lot of wood.
In order to cook the food faster, the fire must reach the pot. With a three-stone fireplace, some of the heat is lost when it goes to the stones and not to the pot.
The flame does not reach the pot sometimes because it is blown by the wind to the side. Such stoves are very difficult to use during a windy day, and even worse during a rainy season when you have rain to contend with. What other disadvantages does a three-stone fireplace have?
Due to the fact that the stoves are sometimes used either outside or inside. If it is inside, the problem that they have is that of smoke. And if there isn't enough ventilation, then it has got an impact on their health.
Smoke which is released by the three-stone fireplace is so much that people who have to live in households which use this type of stove suffer from coughing diseases. The eyes can also be affected.
Many accidents occur with these uncovered fires. People, especially children, have been burnt after falling into such fireplaces.
The idea, therefore, is to have a stove which does not use too much firewood, but cooks faster because it does not waste heat. Therefore, you do not waste time by going to look for wood every single day. In Kenya, a stove has been developed which is cheap to make, uses less wood, but produces more heat than the normal three-stone stove, does not give off too much smoke, and it is safe to have around the house.
It has various names such as the Maendeleo or the UPESI stove.
The UPESI stove is a ceramic stove made out of ceramic clay and fired. And it is installed in mud in the kitchen. It saves firewood because of the ceramic quality, and instead of feeding on three doors like they do with the three-stone fireplace, they feed through one door.
I traveled to Kapkoi Market at Moyes Bridge near Kitale to meet the women from the Webolela Women's Group, who are making these upesi stoves, which they sell to their local community.
The upesi stoves are of various types. There are those that are installed in mud in the kitchen, there are those that are cladded in metal, there are those that are all clay and could be used as portable stoves.
Even though there are three types of upesi stoves, they all have one thing in common. They all start off as clay.
We bring in the clay from the riverside, and we bring in the clay using donkeys because it is quite far from here.
Sisana Wabubi explaining where they get the clay from. This is not just any type of clay, but it must be a clay which will not break apart when heated to high temperatures. Traditional pots which are placed directly over a flame are usually made from the same clay, which can also be used in making these stoves.
Sisana Wabubi softens the clay by beating her fist into the clay, which is already soft. If the clay is dry, you can use a timber crusher, which looks like a pestle, and sometimes even a hammer. This is to just break it down to smaller pieces. Each day I can work on clay which is enough for 10 stoves, and we know that each stove uses clay which weighs about 10 kilograms.
After the clay has been smashed by Sisana Wabubi, she will then pass it on to Femina Wanyama. Femina's job is to remove any stones which are in the clay. She does this by squeezing her fingers through the clay and feeling for any stones. Water is added to the clay to make it softer and easier to mold.
The mold used is in the shape of a bowl. The sides are round. The open part of the bowl where the clay is put in is wider than the bottom end. The bottom of the mold is closed so that nothing can come out at the bottom. You wet the inner sides of the mold and cover them with ashes.
When she will be removing, then it should not stick. Just like when we bake cakes, we put flour on the wall of the baking tin so that when we are removing, it comes out easily.
The walls of the stove you want to produce must be 4 centimeters thick, but the clay has to be pressed tightly. In order to achieve this, you have to put into the mold first one layer of 2 centimeters tightly pressed to the walls of the mold. This first wedge will create the liner for your stove. Webu Amalwa explains how you continue.
After finishing one wedge, you put in another one, and you overlap them or you join them to the other. You must watch where you are joining. You must make sure they join properly.
I asked Helen what would happen if they don't join properly.
If they don't, then it's a weak point, and during firing or during drying, the stove can crack. Or even after, when you go to use the stove after firing, that's still a weak point. It could crack through that point.
After joining the two wedges together tightly, you then take a tool called a spindle to remove any extra clay which is not needed from the inner walls.
The liner is taken out of the mold and you cut at the side an opening through which you can later feed the wood into the stove. The pot rests are then molded on.
The next step is leaving the stove to dry for 3 to 4 weeks depending on the weather conditions.
If the weather is damp and cold, it will take longer than if it is hot. The drying is done in a shade with the stoves protected from the sun and the wind. You can tell if they are dry by the sound they make when you tap them with your knuckle.
Then after that, they dry them in the sun for 2 to 3 days and then fire them in the firing kiln.
The kiln that is used by the Wabolela women's group is similar to the kiln which is used to fire bricks, which are used in building huts and houses from mud or clay bricks. They can put in as many as 65 stoves to be fired. They fire the kiln for 6 hours and then check to see if the fire has reached the top. If the fire reaches the top, It means all the parts of the kiln have received some fire.
If we want to know that the stoves have been fired enough, we remove the brick that is in the center of the kiln, and if we see that the center is already red, then we know that the stoves at the top have also received the flames.
After 2 days, they will come and remove the stoves from the kiln. Some of the stoves are sold as they are, and it is up to the user to build in the stove in the house using mud. If you want a portable stove, you can fit a metal clad or holder around the stove. This will allow you to move the stove from one place to another.
In a moment, we will give you an important address you can write to if you are interested in the Upesi stove. But before that, we will find out how another group from Kenya called the Ichingo Women's Group has benefited from the making of the Upesi stove.
The Ichingo Women's Group is located in the Mumias region of Western Kenya. They supply the area around Mumias with their stoves. Mrs. Zainabu was there to talk about the benefits of selling the stoves.
We never had an income as women, but this has changed now. These days we get enough income to take home. We used to depend on our husbands for everything, cooking oil, sugar, soap and other things. Our husbands would always complain that we approached them for money.
Her friend, Mrs. Rahema, also believes that the stoves have helped her to gain more respect.
I feel like a housewife now, and I'm recognized as a wife because I also give something to my family. If I miss something in my house, I can just go and buy it without going to my husband all the time. Quarrels would always happen when I asked my husband for something.
These ceramic stoves are normally sold for $2. The Wabolela Women's Group in Kitale, which showed us how to mold such stoves, made a profit of $1,904 in 1 year, which meant for each of the 16 members an income of $119 in that year. It is not only profitable to sell the stoves and gain some money, but as Mrs. Zainabu explains, the home can also be a better home.
My kitchen is cleaner now because the ash is not blown around my kitchen. After cooking, all I do is remove the ash from inside the stove and throw it outside. When my husband comes home and I'm not there, he has no problems with lighting the stove and cooking for himself very easily. Even with children around the kitchen, the stove is safe because the fire is hidden inside the stove.
The Upesi stove has brought many other advantages which the normal fireplace never gave to the women of Kenya, and indeed the men as well. These advantages also mean that the forests of Africa may last for a longer time.
If you are interested in getting the Upesi stove into your community, please write to Making It Work, Development Technology Center, University of Zimbabwe, P.O. Box, MP167, Mount Pleasant, Harare. Development Technology Center, University of Zimbabwe, P.O. Box, MP167, Mount Pleasant, Harare. And finally, many thanks to the Wabolela Women Group from Kenya for providing the music for today's program. Until we meet again, I am Brenda Moyo.
And I am George Msumba, reminding you that in Africa, there are many ways to make it work.
Making It Work was brought to you by ISAT in association with the Development Technology Center in Zimbabwe, produced by Radio Bridge Overseas.